The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content.
Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. So look, Kevin, the great philosopher Nelly once said in one of his great philosophical rap songs, what does it take to be number one? Apparently in the NFC East, it only takes five wins after 11 games to be number one. The Washington Redskins beat the New York Giants in kind of a weird game. It's like, I don't even want to talk about the first three quarters or the first three and a half quarters. I kind of only want to talk about the last 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, 20-14, in what was a dramatic end when it almost seemed like it didn't have to be a dramatic end.
But the Redskins
win 20-14.
Total domination.
5-6. both teams 5-6 to be in a tie for number one in the NFC East. Kevin, let's start with the last play at the end because I just want to get this out. Because for those who don't know, we record this show right after the game.
Immediately
so
after.
Emotions are fresh and raw. Right now, if there's one thing I hate, it's the stupid flea flicker, pitch the ball back at the end of the game play that teams seem to do as if it's going to work as a last second. I would almost rather a team would just throw it up as a Hail Mary, maybe pitch it, something different. It's so ridiculous.
The thing about it is most teams will try that college throw the ball back 15 lateral type thing if they have like a second left. The Giants still had 7 seconds left on the clock.
Right.
It's like they said, that's okay. You can let them have this one, right?
No, exactly. And it always ends with the defense catching the ball or someone dropping it.
Has anyone ever seen that play work?
It worked with Miami and Duke, but the guy was down.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Call. It's just so
it'd be different. I guess they figure we're not going to throw deep because we don't have nobody who can just we throw the ball to and he can just catch it with one hand. Oh, wait a minute, they do have a guy like that, don't they? I just tell everybody, hey, look, we're throwing it to Beckham. I tell the other team we're throwing it to Beckham. Mm-hmm. Try to stop.
We're going
to
throw it up deep, throw it to Beckham
because you'll catch it most of the time. Isn't the guy incredible, man? I have not seen anything like that.
No, just so bad. So anyway, again, the Redskins win 2014 at home, even though it didn't seem like a home game, against the New York Giants, 5-6 on the year, 5-1 at home, 0-1, 5-1 at home. And so, 5-1. It didn't sound right when I said it.
It is kind of hard to believe, though. I mean, the way we have dogged this team that they – is the NFC East that bad that we can't believe the success of this team? I mean, 5-6, leading the division. Let's just forget the record because they shouldn't ask how. They should ask how many. We lead the division. We're number one right now. And the playoffs are coming through us for right now, right?
Right now.
Doesn't matter the record. We get an automatic bid.
That's exactly the way it seems. And so the Redskins in a game that they basically totally dominated from start to about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, there were several points, I think, that were turning points in the game. The first one, and these were 2 points, with those two early interceptions that Eli Manning threw. Kudos to the defense. But then also that interception, I think it was third and goal in the end zone.
Late
Eli Manning hitting Randall really late, and the Redskins getting that interception right
Clinton
there. That
Dunbar.
Dunbar. And who in the world was he, and where was he 3 weeks ago? I mean, was he even on the roster?
That shows you the keen eye for talent this organization has, right? He started out in the practice
the
squad.
Depth of the bench.
Started out as a wide receiver in training camp. Had a good camp. But maybe they made a mistake and said, we only got number 47 left, so we're going to have to make you a defensive back, whatever. But that the Giants, for some reason, Eli had in his mind today, we're going to pick on Quentin Dunbar. Either pick on Quentin Dunbar or throw the ball to Odell Beckham Jr., no matter who's on him or not. Breland played a great three quarters of a football game today, right?
No, absolutely.
It was an amazing game to watch because they weren't – usually the Giants play this team with just so much ease that we said last
week. And the physicality that we thought the Redskins had to meet us.
Right.
We were talking about last week.
We said last week that we'd have to pressure the receivers, throw Eli's timing off, and hit Eli early. Now, I'm not sure if they hit him or not, but Eli did not play like Eli that we've seen against
the team.
Well,
he played like the Eli we've seen seemingly the last 2 years with a ton of interceptions. I mean, he had three interceptions in the game today, which is a season high for Eli this year. 25 for 50. He did about 50 times. 25 for 50, basically 50%. percent, 310 yards, two touchdowns, two late touchdowns, and one interception. But again, I think the play that changed the game for the Redskins was that third quarter interception in the end zone, because we've seen this team week after week after week have horrible third quarters, and that could have been the beginning of. And again, the Giants ran out of time when they tried to got on that run and tried to come back. Suppose they get that touchdown in the third quarter, we could be looking at a different game.
Now, I think that the turning point, the key to this game, was the 63-yard pass to a healthy DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. And tell me why they just don't throw to him deep every single time. I mean, even if he catches half of them, that's, you know, they'll score like 75 points a game. You see, now, you know, it feeds on one another. You had Alfred Morris gaining some yards, had a pretty good yards per attempt clip, and DeSean Jackson opened up spreading the defense, right? That when you spread the defense, that allows everything up underneath, that allows the running game. I just throw to him deep every time. And he seemed healthier this game than he has the past couple of weeks.
Right. DeSean Jackson, two catches for 66 yards, one touchdown. Alfred Morris, you talked about this, and here's the big number for him. So 23 carries, 78 yards, 3.4 yards a carry. 23 carries. We talked about how big backs like Alfred Morris needs to get into a rhythm. And he's not going to find a rhythm if he gets 8 carries, 7 carries, 11 carries. 23 carries, 78 yards. And this was the type of game you would expect to see out of one of those traditional ground-and-pound Redskins. This was a fall, you know, end of November. It's cold outside, a little rainy. It's wet at FedEx Field. They're going to ground-and-pound. This was that kind of game you saw from the Redskins, that you would, the typical game from the Skins that you would have saw back in the heyday when the Skins, you know, were winning a lot.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is that type of football is productive, right? You know, Kirk barely scored, mind you, on a quarterback sneak. They weren't in the shotgun on like fourth and inches, right? You know, mm-hmm. You got to get, you know, it's
like you always say, if you can't get me a yard,
that's right.
What are you playing on this offensive
that's
line?
That's right.
For?
You need to give me a yard. And they did that. This, you know, you got to give the coaching staff credit. The offensive coaching staff called a good game today. They called a good, sound ball control game. They took their shots. They have this thing for allowing small plays to become big plays. The mm-hmm. screen pass to mm-hmm. Matt Jones gained 4 million yards, right? You know, Kirk gets the stats for it. He throws the ball 1 yard, guy runs for 1 million yards. Kirk gets credit for a million mm-hmm. yard pass, right? But you love it. You know, if you're a fan of this team, you know, I've criticized this team. I think they still should go in other directions in certain departments. But still, as a fan, you got to appreciate
that other, that other direction is going to be headed in a direction out of this town.
Okay. He'll be good. Yeah, he'll be
Kurt,
all right.
Kurt went 20 for 29, 302 yards, one touchdown.
Them dreads going to look with a star on the side of him. But you all know what we're talking about, right?
You're going to find out soon. Especially with the quarterback situation going down, down there. 10.4 yards to pass and 114.4 passer rating for Kurt. Which, you know, by the way, we talked about that interception in the end zone as a turning point. The Redskins, again, had a chance to seal this game. That's exactly what they did with that last drive that they had. I mean, they did not score on it, and they didn't get that last third down that they needed, but they got one first down that they on that last drive, and that was more than enough to melt clock. So the Giants just didn't have enough time to move the ball down the field and have like a viable chance at it. And that, and we talked about this on that last drive in the fourth quarter. Why in the world on first down would you throw the ball? I mean, and I understand, you know, it was a completion for like maybe 2 yards, 2 or 3 yards, and so you can keep the clock running. But at the same time, you leave it open for so many bad things to happen, from a sack fumble, to an incompletion, and the clock stopping right there.
Yeah, sometimes the coaches can outsmart themselves. You know, they say, they think we're going to run, but I know that they know we're going to run, but they know that I know. You don't have to do that. This is the time to just show your dominance. We're a better team than you. We're beating you all day.
And that's the thing.
Right.
At the beginning of the fourth quarter, it's 20-0.
That's
so
right.
So we're beating you today, you know? And that's when you line your guys up on that offensive line and you say, we're going to get this 10 yards and we're going to get it on the ground. And then they get the completion. They run the ball the next 2 downs and they get the first down, you
right?
know? And Alfred Morris is proven to, you know, is just doing what he's done the last few years the years he's been here.
Well, perhaps they'll learn from this. Perhaps, like, you know, in games in the future, they'll learn, well, hey, you know, if we win like 3-0, we still win. It's still a victory, right? You know, we don't need any moral victory. We just need to have more points at the end of the the game. So, yeah, so that's good. But they hadn't been in this position for a while either, mm-hmm. with a leading going into the fourth quarter when it wasn't a blowout, right?
Right.
You know, so that's foreign territory to them. So it was foreign territory to me because we sat here, we watched, you know, at the last quarter, and we said, you know, this ain't over yet. It was 20 nothing.
That just felt like, you know what? The Giants are still in this.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they didn't make any mistakes. They didn't turn the ball over like they did against Carolina. And even, you know, and they were very fortunate. Like, they were throwing the ball when they should have run it. But it came out fortunate. Jordan Reed caught a big third down play. And it seemed like some of the other coaches and other teams haven't really been watching the film of him. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he surprises the other teams, right? You know, I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like no one in this league knows he's a great tight end. Like,
right.
He's a really, really good tight end. And, like, you know, one that I would assume sometimes would at least get a safety to kind of spy on him, or a safety to at least check him. But yeah. He's always open in the middle of the field for some reason. Week after week.
The problem with Jordan is the other aspects of the game, because he had, like, 3 holding calls in the first period or something, right? He personally accounted for negative 45 yards.
And he's not the best run blocker.
You know, really. So, you know, he gained a lot of yards in receptions, lost a lot of yards in penalties, so it ended up balanced out. Maybe gained about maybe 7 yards total.
The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. The theme of the day is, what does it take to be number one? The Redskins 5-6, the Giants 5-6, tied for number one in the NFC East. And I'm trying to look, so it looks like the Redskins, would have the tiebreaker being 3-3 in the division, the Giants being 2-4.
That's right. We're number one, baby.
So
that's right.
Yep, that's exactly right. Philadelphia Eagles 4-7, so they're just a game back, and the Cowboys 3-8, just 2 games back, which is kind of weird for a team to be 3-8, 2 games back in the division, but without a quarterback. Let's be honest, come on. You know, there's no need to count on the Cowboys doing anything in this division. Look, Cowboys with Romo this year 3-1, 4 games with Romo, they're 3-1. 7 games without them, they're 0-7.
You know what? Doesn't matter. Throw it all over the window. These division games, man. Division games. Guys who have any pride in themselves whatsoever in this division, they don't care. Just like last year, the Burgundy go totally out of it. They said, we can knock Philly out the playoffs this year. A clearly superior Philadelphia Eagles team last game of the season knocked them out the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to be careful with these division games. And like I said, this is uncharted territory for this group, right? Now they're the ones with the bullseye on their back.
Right. Uncharted territory, and the fact that you're playing November and December games, that means something.
It means something.
And
these
guys are used to that, you know, here in D.C.
But you know what? You're king of the hill now. You got to play like you're a first-place team. You're a first-place team. You got to play like it, right?
Exactly. And so we take a look at some things throughout the game, and, you know, one moment that just made us go nuts here in the studio was that Odell Beckham catch for that touchdown.
Pretty good, huh?
I mean, unbelievable catch. Stretch out that way, grab it with one hand, bring it in with two, and then not to have the ball hit the ground at all. I mean, that was a great catch.
I don't know, man. It's something we got to check him. Like, you know, they check for performance-enhancing drugs. We got to check his hands, make sure they're not bionic. Because one man's fingers cannot be that strong.
It's physically
impossible, right? You know, they got to make commercials like with him, like, picking up cars with one finger or something, right? You know,
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, if he played the piano, he probably played like 5 different songs at one time, right? He's got the fingers of the year, right? You know?
Right.
But it's an amazing catch, and Eli has great faith in this guy, right? Because mm-hmm. he'll throw covered, uncovered, high, low.
I'll
just throw it to you. If you catch it, great. You know, if you don't catch it, you know, it just wasn't meant to be, because, like I said, Eli has great confidence in him, and he will continue to throw to him, and it pays off. It pays off.
Yeah, no,
why can we get a guy like that? We do have a guy that can go deep and
just
go
back throw it to him.
Yeah, just throw it to him all the time, right? Which we should
exactly.
do.
Exactly. And another moment in the game we were watching, it really didn't have anything to do with the game, but it had to do with the number of Giants fans that were, and you talked about this at the game that you
went to the
Saints game. How many Saints fans? Now, you expect there to be more Giants fans than Saints fans, but in general, there are always just more of the opposing team's fans at the game than it seems it needs to. Like, where was the home field advantage? When the Giants had momentum in the fourth quarter, we were laughing here in the studio because Odell Beckham sitting there telling the crowd to get louder.
How many times do you see the crowd get louder?
Like,
you see the opposition telling the crowd to get louder. If you look at the landscape of the stadium, there was so much blue there.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Now, I know you people, it's Thanksgiving, Christmas is coming up. you need some spending change. You say, how can I make a couple of dollars? Hey, I got these season tickets. I'm going to sell my tickets. But look, this is you're the first place team now. You cannot sell your tickets now. They're depending on you. If I could borrow a Joe Gibbs colloquialism, it's going to be a tough. We're going to need all you fans out there now. You know, this fan needs you. That's your job as a fan to come out and support the team, not to support your own fight. If you needed the money, why you buy the season tickets? Stop selling your tickets. I know this is America, a capitalistic society, but don't sell your tickets for the rest of December, right? I bet the playoffs coming, you won't be selling them then. Yeah. You'll be, yay team. Colors now. Right. It matters.
And this is for some of fans, if uncharted territory for them, too. It's been so long since December and November games mattered around here.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, I mean, we had the year in 2012, obviously, with RG3, but it's been so long that it actually mattered for something that maybe folks just got to remember, hey, you know what? We got to go there to support the team. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Coming up a little later, we're going to preview the game with Dallas. It's Monday night next week, so we're either going to have to stay up really, really late Monday night or wake up extra, extra early Tuesday to bring you the show Tuesday. We do whatever we have to do to bring you a quality football program.
That's right. Sacrifice. Yeah.
And so we'll do that. We'll talk about the Cowboys. We'll also look at the rest of the NFC East. We'll spend some time talking about Thanksgiving, what we did. We did the movie preview of last week with Creed, and what I understand, a lot of people like, we went a little bit off script to talk about some personal stuff, so we'll talk about our Thanksgiving. And also, we have a Giants fan in studio, and we'll have him on mic next. It's the Federal Football Report.
Now, back to the Federal Football Report with Claude and Kevin. You know, they asked me to read this, but did they invite me to be on their dopey show? Of course not. The nerve of some people. Come on, guys. I like football, too.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, online at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield in studio. I'm not even sure how he was able to get in. We've got a Giants fan. Security sleeping on a job. We've got high alert here in the studio, and because there's so many Giants fans at FedEx Field, they even found a way to get into the studio. We got Mr. Rodney Henderson here with us. He's a Giants fan. They let him in anyway. Yeah. And Rodney, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine.
Glad to have you in studio. Fun watching the game with you, with the Giants fan. Let me tell you something about Washington. So D.C. is interesting because there's so many different fans. Like the Redskins fan base is loyal. So many different other, from Cowboys fans to Eagles fans, Giants fans, Pittsburgh fans. I mean, there's so many different fans here, and everybody's kind of got a story. Now, there's this unique group of people who were born and raised in Washington, D.C., but hate the Redskins.
Yeah. Misguided souls, I call them.
I've heard of such individuals. Okay. Rodney, what's your story, man?
My story is I was raised here, Northeast D.C., mm-hmm. and I didn't understand the business when I was younger. But after they won the Super Bowl, they cut Doug Williams. Mm-hmm. It's an MVP Super Bowl, and you cut Doug Williams. And I didn't understand that. But I always liked Lawrence Taylor and all the defense of the Giants, and so I fell in love with the Giants. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's been.
And ever since then, it was all good.
Now, being the poor misguided soul as you are, the Giants fan, how do you look at a game like that and see all that blue in the opposing team's stadium, man? How do y'all do that?
Well, just like you said, it's the holiday weekend, but it's always been like that for the past, I say, how long Daniel Snyder been here? Like that since he's been the owner or whatever, that you could take over. If you want to get a ticket in the Redskins here, you can get the tickets.
Because I've been to games where the Skins are playing Minnesota, tons of Minnesota, especially when Favre was playing, there were tons of Favre jerseys. Yeah. I've been to a couple of Dallas games, tons of Cowboys fans. Mm-hmm. And today it was tons of Giants fans. And so when I'm talking to a few of my buddies who are Cowboys fans, born and raised in D.C., but they're Cowboys fans, they absolutely, out of all the NFC East teams, they just hate the Redskins. We don't really like Giants. Eagles don't. But there's this hate for the Redskins. For a Giants fan in D.C., what's the team that you just can't stand? Is it the Cowboys? Is it the Redskins? Is it the Eagles?
It's the Cowboys, but it's a bittersweet because of the Redskins, because my family members are diehard Redskin fans.
It's
more personal. So I could talk more trash to my uncles and my cousins. And
you're going to have a rough week
this week. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's going to be rough. it's going to be rough tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
it's time for some payback, bro. For the past 4 years, it's time for some payback. I hope you're ready for it, right? You know. So look, okay, so I know that all of them are listening now because you're going to tell them all about the show, about us being on 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, right? So for all of you, all of Rodney's relatives who are listening, he sat here, he took it like a man, right?
Yeah.
He took it like a man. Oh, but he was complaining, right? He was complaining about Reuben Randall not hustling, right? He was complaining about the guys just not tackling and stuff. He tried. He couldn't have done any better if he was sitting in the stadium himself, like most of these Giants fans were. And I still have a problem with that, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how Rodney didn't get a ticket to the game.
That's right.
Everybody
he must have sold his for Christmas, too, right?
So here in Washington, I mean, for the last couple of years, just been kind of talk about, you know, the quarterback play and stuff like that. You guys have had Eli there, Super Bowl champion twice. But the last couple of years, he's kind of struggled. What has been like, what's the kind of like the fans' thought on Eli? Like, is it stick with him, riding out with Eli, the two-time Super Bowl champ, or are you guys ready to kind of move on too? Because he's been throwing a lot of picks the last couple of years.
Last couple of years, yes, because it was a new offense last year. But this year, he's mastered the offense and he's calmed down and he just taking whatever is given.
Mm-hmm.
So is anybody open? If you're open, he's going to get the ball towards you. But to say that, but you have to go win it because who else are you going to turn to?
Right.
We're going to go to...
What, are you going to go to Brandon Whedon? Because he's
yeah,
the guy
exactly.
in front of him.
You know, so we have to go. You have to stick with Whedon.
But you know what? Don't go with Whedon yet. But yeah, again, we digress. Yeah. Now, the thing to me, as a Burgundy and Gold fan and a fan of the NFC East, the thing that had traditionally made the Giants so tough is they had that power running game, right? If you go back in the day to O.J. Anderson, go through Joe Morris, go through, it skipped my mind, the two running backs they had when they won the first Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Brandon Jacobs and Barber,
and the guy who's playing with the Colts now, the other running back.
Amari Bradshaw.
Yeah, Bradshaw. They've had guys.
Like Otis Anderson and, yeah.
They had guys that you would have to respect the Giants running game, but they don't seem to have that now. What's going on with the Giants running game?
Like today, we had two offensive linemen get injured today. So, you know, had a couple of third stringers, had to, you know, move around the offense and make accountable for it. But, you know, but once you get the momentum going on with the game at the beginning, Eli was throwing the ball because, you know, nowadays it's a pass happy offense. So, because you got to play, you know, smart towards the game because the rules are 10 that you can't touch nobody now. So it's pretty much flag football now.
Yeah.
So you can
make
a run free or whatever. And once they, you know, run free, you can't touch them, you get their flag. So you have to adjust to the rules. So that's what they did. And Eli is best when he's at 2 minutes under the pressure. Anybody say he might be hot and cold, throw interception, but in 2 minutes, I want Eli to have that ball.
Mm-hmm. That's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. In honor of all the Giants fans that were at FedEx Field, we have a Giants fan in studio with us for the show.
Yeah, why not us? Everybody else has some.
Right. Rodney Henderson. So we're just going to talk a little bit about the NFC East, about the Giants and the Giants fan who grew up in Washington, D.C. So it seems like almost every year for the Giants, your head coach's job is always in question. Coughlin's job is always in question, and then he wins the Super Bowl. Yeah. What is it about Coughlin that always got him on the hot seat?
Because it's just his style of being disciplined, and maybe the news media maybe want somebody new and fresh, but he's going to stick to it. How he wants to do it, you come to work 15 minutes early. If you come to work 15 minutes early, you're late. He's, you know, you have to be disciplined, and the way he is, I love him because I think he's preparate, you know, his players to get them motivated to play. And who's Will Tice? So you have to motivate, him to play and get him in the right situation or whatever. But I think he's a good coach, but so he doesn't, you know, he don't follow towards the media. He has thick skin and he doesn't worry about the media because, you know, one of the strong medias is in New York and also here, too. So
That's right. But, that's the same way we feel, man. We don't care what people say about this show. We know it's good. Right? We know it's good. Right.
Absolutely.
We love y'all. I know y'all love us. Yeah, it's good.
The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. So, Rodney, here we go. So there's nothing that, you know, fans like to do than useless predictions and wins and losses when you look at the schedule. The Redskins have the tiebreaker, but right now tied for number one in the NFC East, 5-6. I want to run down the Giants' remaining schedule. Why don't you just go win, loss, win loss, as far as how you see it. Okay, didn't want to calculate that at the end of the thing. So next week, Giants have they're 5-6 right now. The Giants play the Jets.
Win.
That's a win. All right, so you've got them at 6-6. Yeah. Next at Miami, which seems to be a Monday night game. Why would the Giants? Yeah, and 8:30. Yeah, on the 14th.
Yeah, you know, the Monday night schedule is not what it used to be.
In the world, they have the Dolphins and well, anyway, the Giants and Dolphins Monday night.
I would go with the Giants on that one.
Okay, sorry, so that's two wins. All right, so what are we looking at? We're looking at 7-6 right now.
Yeah, I see a trend developing here.
At home against the Panthers.
Win.
Undefeated Panthers, yeah, probably at that point.
Yes. Right. Okay. In Minnesota to take on the Vikings.
Loss.
Okay. And at home for the season finale against the Eagles.
Which could be for the division.
And it will be a win.
All right.
Okay, so what's that? They've got the Giants finishing 10-6?
That's, 10 like? 6.
That's, okay. That's what it adds up. Let me recheck.
6, you hear it here.
Somebody got a calculator. Let me ask this. Yeah, that's what it adds up to be, 10-6.
All right, we want
to
do the same thing with the Redskins schedule.
Put all wins down. Okay, no. Okay.
So next week,
you got Rodney do it? Okay.
Yeah. Next week, Monday night, at home against Dallas. Well, it should be a home game for the Redskins, but I'm pretty sure we'll see enough blue jerseys in there against Dallas. By the way, and here's the thing, with Matt Castle as a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a win for the Redskins.
Okay. All right. So we still got them tied with the division. Okay. In Chicago against the Bears.
Chicago is a loss.
Okay.
Chicago's playing well right now.
At home against Buffalo.
Buffalo. Ooh.
Rex Ryan.
Snow up there.
Are they playing here?
It's going to be home.
Oh,
home.
Here?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would go with the Redskins.
Uh-oh. In Philadelphia against the Eagles.
Redskins, Chip Kelly's going to college somewhere.
And then in Dallas for the season finale.
Redskins.
Whoa!
Oh, so
wait a minute. I think Rodney has the Redskins winning the division.
Rodney, now tell the truth, man. We know you got all the family just there and all that, right? Are you getting some brownie points here? You know what? I will say this, man. A guy knew what he was coming into this show, right? You know, but he had the courage and fortitude to come on in here and lay it on the line. I think we can, and he knows something about football too. We don't let just any Giant fan off the street in here.
And so
right?
What's that? 11 wins for the Redskins?
Yes, it is.
You have the Redskins finishing 11 and I guess that's would it be 11? I guess it couldn't be 11-5. They're
11-5 would be it.
Well, they're 5-6 now, he's got to win going 10-6 or 9-7, something like that. There you go.
It's more. Oh, we have a Chicago game. I forgot that.
Chicago is their only loss. That's it right there. The 9-7. Well, there you have it, folks. Yeah, Rodney, born and raised in D.C., Giants fan. He has the Redskins winning the division at 9-7 on the Federal Football Report. And so coming back on the other side of the break. We'll talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. We'll preview the Dallas game. And so, Rodney, just one quick question. So you had a chance to sit in the studio, watch a few minutes of the game with us, and get on behind the scenes of the show. What do you think of the show and the behind-the-scenes stuff?
I think the behind-the-scenes, everything is excellent. And it's been first class for everything I came in here and see. So, and I appreciate you guys inviting me in here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
I really do. And the way you guys don't see behind the scenes, but they really are true professionals and how they turn it up.
Nice.
Ready to go to work.
All right. I like it, man.
Well, on that, we'll go to commercial break. We'll be back with more on the Federal Football.
You know, a high note. That's right.
And now back to Claude and Kevin and the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You know, they aren't half bad for a couple of old guys.
All right, it's the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. We've got Kevin in studio. We got our Giants fan, Rodney Henderson, in studio as well. The Washington Redskins get to 5-6 on the year. Giants fall to 5-6. Redskins and Giants tied for number one in the division. But if the season were to end today, the Redskins has the tiebreaker. They win the East, 20-14.
So we win the East, basically. We're number one.
Basically.
We are number one.
Exactly. That's it. And as Nelly once said, what does it take to be number one? Takes 5 wins in the NFC East. We want to recap the game. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We'll talk about the Cowboys. But again, right now, let's just recap the game. And this is one question, Kevin, and I've asked it 3 times already this year. But the answers have been kind of different because the situation and circumstances were just different. It's a different situation now, okay? So I'm going to ask this question, but I really need you to concentrate and really give a thoughtful answer here, okay? Because we did it after the New England game. No, it wasn't the New England game. We did it after the New Orleans game other time this year. What does this win mean for the Redskins?
it means absolutely nothing if they lose to the Cowboys. Because they have, if they lose to the Cowboys, all momentum, all identity, and almost all hope is lost, because because that means they're not in a position yet to defend what is theirs. Mm-hmm. Now, what it does is it should change the mindset of this team. No longer mm-hmm. is this team shooting to achieve something. They already have it. Mm-hmm. They're in the playoffs now, and what they have to do is hold their ground, defend this house, and maintain their playoff position, right? And I think that this is kind of uncharted territory. We talk about uncharted territory all the time. This is uncharted territory for Jay Gruden. Mm-hmm. Now, he is not in a position now where he has to be a teacher. He has to be a motivator now, because these guys, he has to make these guys believe that they are the champions of the NFC East. So if they lose this Dallas game, that means it's all for nothing.
I think this win means that like you said, now this win means, and this may sound weird, that it's time to focus on what could possibly be a bigger picture for the season, you know, where it's not just, you know, we just want to improve a few games, make sure you get, you know, answer a couple questions as far as the secondary and defense, answer some offensive line questions, get the special teams better this season, and try to build for next year, because that's what the deal was coming into the season. I think this win says, okay, you know what? I know we had some growing steps and that we wanted to kind of get up the ladder to grow to be a potential contender a couple years from now, but that's not the case right now, as of now, with this win, simply because the East is bad. You're 5-6 with the tiebreaker, and there are only 5 more games left in the season. You actually have a chance to win the division.
Right.
Like, this could actually happen. I mean, you know, when it was a few weeks ago, when you're looking at it, the joke was, the East is so bad, we're only 2 games out. The East is so bad, we're 1 game out. Well, now, yeah, the East is bad. There's only 5 games left in the season, and so what? Yeah, the East is bad, but you have a chance to win.
Right.
So now it's like, yo, we could focus on something that's short-term, like getting into the playoffs and winning the NFC East, which is possible.
Anything is possible if they believe it. Man, that sounds like Peter Pan, right? It's all possible if you believe. And it doesn't matter if they're bad or not, because there's still teams of professional athletes who, a lot of which still have a lot of pride, and these are division games coming up. And this is the meat of their schedule. And a couple of years ago, the league made the decision to try to maneuver the schedule so that as many division games were played late in the season as possible so they would be meaningful. And you got to tip your hat to the league now, because it's worth.
Absolutely. And it's been a lot. And the last 3 or 4 seasons in the East, it's come down to the last 2. Because even the 2012 run came down between the Cowboys and Redskins at FedEx Field with the RG3 season when they made the playoffs. And that came down to the last game. And so, no, the league gets a big thumbs up for that. But, I mean, you know, you hear people say this all the time, and you hear these commentators on, you know, all the major networks talking about, the NFC East is so bad, the East is so bad. Oh, we know the East is bad. But someone still has to win it.
That's right.
And if you're 5-6, and you're number one right now, why not you?
You look at the Arizona Cardinals and their run a couple of years back when the fairy tale season, I believe they won their conference, or were they the wild card team or something? Mm-hmm. At like 9-7.
Yeah, yes.
And that's all you need is to get it. That's the point of making it into the playoffs, man, because once you get into the playoffs, except for the home field, the records are moot. It doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. So that's why it's so heartbreaking when you get a team like the Patriots who were undefeated and lost to the same Giants.
Yes.
Yeah. And Rodney, let me ask you this, because we haven't been in this area before, but the Giants have on several occasions. Most of the time when they had those Super Bowl runs, they start out poorly.
Yes.
They start out poorly. What is it that make you guys stick with this team? What is it? What's the character of this team that would make you want to stick with them and the team eventually will come through for you? How do you all do that?
You have to trust in Tom Coughlin. Even though we was in the hot seat, we were 0-2 playing here, first Super Bowl at the Redskins Stadium. We were at the goal line, and we had to make a stop, and made a stop for the Redskins. And we stopped and won the game.
I remember that game. That game, they were up. The Washington was up 21-3 that game.
21-3. It's kind of similar, but it didn't happen today. Still hurting. So we still have hope. But once you're in a playoffs, you're in. It's a tournament. Anything can happen. So
we're taking it Take that from a Giants fan, y'all.
Yeah.
So. Take that. And what's interesting too? I mean, look, in the first segment, I you stumbled over it, but yeah, the Redskins are 5-1 at home. They've won 5 straight home games.
Right.
The last home loss was the opening loss against Miami, which was a winnable game.
Right. And if you look at the crowd, you don't know if they're playing at home or not. Even the home game is a road game. So y'all cut that out, folks. Okay, I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
So the Redskins are 5-6 on the road because every single
home game is a road game. But we got to stop. We're putting the end of that this week. Outlawing all Dallas jerseys in FedEx Field this week.
And so we'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys coming up. It is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. But right now, we just celebrated Thanksgiving last week, last Thursday. I want to take a look. We are a family show here. We're all about family. Family here on the Federal Football Report. When Kevin did the movie review for Creed, a lot of people liked it. We had some really good feedback. And so, you know, folks said they wanted to hear a little bit more personal stuff or whatever on the show. And so I just want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. Kevin, how was Thanksgiving? We'll go Kevin, we'll go Rodney, we'll go me.
All right. It was fabulous, man. It was fantastic. Let me tell you what happened. My wife, you know, I've experimented with frying turkeys in the past, right? You know, and, you know, frying turkeys are good, but that's a very tedious process, man. You got to take all this oil, you got to set the fire, you got to get the oil just right. And it's a hit or miss proposition for me because sometimes the oil is too hot, sometimes it's too cold, sometimes the turkey is charcoal black, but it's good on the inside, right? And sometimes it's beautiful on the outside, but you look into it and it's like a horror film, right? So, and so my wife saw this electric indoor turkey fryer, and she said, "You want to try that?" I said, she said, "I'll pay for it." I said, "Okay."
You got me.
So I got it. So I went out to Costco. This was not a sponsor, but I was about to say it anyway in case you all
want
to get one.
In case they want
in case they want to sponsor the show. FederalNewsRadio.com. Call Lisa. But anyway, tried it. And the thing about this, I was a little skeptical because of the fumes and stuff inside, the heat, this big thing. And, you know, can hold up to a 20-pound turkey. And I, you know, bought the turkey, put it in there, bought the peanut oil, right? It was fabulous, man. Uh-huh. It was fabulous. There's none of the trials and tribulations of the outside fire. You don't have to control the temperature, to control the gas.
Just put the turkey in there, put the stuff in there.
The knob to 375 when the light goes on. Time to put the turkey in, throw that bad boy in. It was brilliant. The only thing now, the outside doesn't have that crisp fried texture because the heat doesn't get so high. But the inside, my daughter, my oldest daughter, who is amateur food critic, because she said, "Daddy, this tastes horrible." She texts me and said, and I quote, "This is the best turkey I have ever had.
She texts you at the Thanksgiving dinner?
Later. Well, you know what?
But that's normal now, though.
Kids will do that. You know. Across the room, they'll do that.
My wife and I, when we're talking about people, we do that all the time. And she said, "I want to talk about somebody." Yeah. I'm like, "Man, can you?"
So actually, here's what we did. Okay, I'll make my part short. Oh, I can go longer depending on how much time we need. What we did, we went to my cousin's. I have a cousin live in the area, right? And her sister and her daughter and her mom, my great aunt, and my mother-in-law, and my wife and my 3 girls, my sister-in-law, we had a bunch go over to her place. Yeah. So what I did, I got 2 turkeys, right? Mm-hmm. I got one for our house, right? And then one to take with us, right? So what I did, I started to make theirs first, and I started thinking about it. And I said, well, my wife and my girls are just walking around, looking around like, hey, you know, like we haven't eaten for 2 days. We've been on diets. Where's this turkey? So what I did is I made ours first. All right, a little backstory. I read like the Food Network, how to prep the turkey, right? So I soak it for a couple of days and put the seasoning in.
The one for you guys was like a test turkey, like just to make sure it was right?
No, I did both of them the same way. But see, I got the test turkey. Well, it wasn't a test turkey. I got ours. Fried it, put it aside, and let them eat on that way. That way they didn't want to just jump on the one I was taking over to my cousin's house, right? So long story short, man, it was wonderful. Everybody, they devoured it. You know, by the time it was finished, it looked like one of those cartoons with the skull in the desert, right? That's what the turkey looked like, what was left of it.
Yeah.
And everybody had a great time, man. Fantastic time. And the Cowboys got thrashed. Let me throw that in. The end.
Yeah, that makes for a good Thanksgiving for some people. Rodney, your Thanksgiving, man.
My Thanksgiving was a blessing. It was football, family, and food. So you can't win with that. And also, not only Cowboys lost, the Eagles lost. Being the Giants fan.
Right.
So you can't win. Yeah. But now it really hurts now because the Redskins won.
It's all in perspective.
The Giants fans Thanksgiving.
That's interesting. So yeah, my Thanksgiving was pretty cool. The last couple of years, you know, we kind of go through this thing. I mean, you know, and my mother and my sister, they always kind of change their minds. Imagine that, a woman changed their mind about something. And so we always say, we're going to do is we're going to go to Copper Canyon, the restaurant. Again, not a sponsor of the show, but if they're interested, federalnewsradio.com, get the phone number, call Lisa. And so we'll go to Copper Canyon to kind of just order the stuff from there, bring it back home, do the kind of spread. But then my mom and my sister change their mind. Every year this happens. They say, no, we want to cook, So it was, of course, me, my wife, my son, my mother-in-law, sister-in-law, my sister, my brother, my mother, my nieces, nephews, our good friends, the Floyds, who are Redskin fans, listen to the show when the Redskins win. And so they don't want to listen when they lose.
So we know you're listening today.
Exactly.
Then. Okay, right,
so they were over with their kids. And so we had a really good dinner. And so the food was great. We did go to Copper Canyon to get the bird, and then it was terrific. And so here's one thing that was kind of funny. And so my sister's been dating this guy, I think, for like 3 years or so, right?
Yeah.
And so we're all getting the food together. And by we, I mean my sister and my mother. You know? And so they're getting stuff together and cooking stuff or whatever. And so I noticed this bag of fish. And so I'm like, we don't normally do fish on Thanksgiving. I said, what's this all about? And so it looks like, okay, I guess you're going to do some, you know, some fish or whatever. And I look in the bag, there's only three pieces of fish in there. I'm like, who in the world brings three pieces of fish to a Thanksgiving dinner? She said, oh, well, I won't mention his name, but, you know, he's a vegetarian. He's a pescatarian or whatever. You know, where you just eat seafood, like no beef or anything.
Okay.
So he just eats seafood. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait. Why are you making special fish for him and there's other people here who may want some fish too? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And so the whole Thanksgiving afternoon became making fun of her for only bringing three pieces of fish for him. And so we made a really, really big deal about it. And so we try to host Thanksgiving dinner at my house for my family every year, because one of our family traditions is that whoever hosts Thanksgiving dinner, like the kids like to put up the Christmas tree or decorations that night. So I'm like, well, if that's the tradition, we won't have it at my house. So that way, while everybody's there, we can do it and I can do less work. And so that's the plan. And that was Thanksgiving for us. We didn't do any of that Black Friday stuff, shopping or whatever.
No,
did you guys get into any of that?
My wife did now. That's, you know, I looked up. She woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I'm about to leave. I said, bye. and I expected her to come back because in years past, she's done that and found a tremendous deal for toys for the kids, right? And gifts for everybody. But this year, she came back and said, I'm on the way home. Can you help me get the stuff out the car? Sure. And I looked, and she had this big coffee table in the car. So I said, well, what was this? She said, well, I've been to like 9 furniture stores, right? You know, so her Black Friday was spent buying furniture. And I said, well, God bless you. You know, at least I didn't have to get up to do that, right?
Yeah,
you know? But I've never been one to appreciate the fact that you have to get up that early.
We've done Black Friday shopping before, and there was one time where it was just so packed in Tyson's Corner. That might have been the last time we did it. And then the fact that our son is 3 now, it's hard to just find somebody's going to, you know, to babysit or whatever, even though all these family members are at our house to eat for Thanksgiving, but nobody can stay to watch the baby. Anyway.
Y'all hear that? Okay, all right.
And so we didn't get involved at all in the Black Friday shopping. But here's the whole thing about it is that, and there are some great deals, I feel, but from a week or two before Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's, every store is going to have what's called the biggest sale of the year and the biggest Wednesday blowout sale before Christmas until next Wednesday when we have another blowout. I mean, it's like these sales are going to be going on, and there's no need to rush and trample over people. And, you know, it's so funny because somebody had said on Facebook, man, I had posted, what did it say? They said, it's so interesting that people go out and trample over people and snatch things out of people's hands and fight over deals one day after they're thankful for everything that God has already given.
That's pretty ironic.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, just taking some time out to go over to review Thanksgiving.
Wait a minute, I got to throw this in there too. I had to take a stand this year to make sure that society didn't bypass Thanksgiving to get right to the sales and stuff, man. Yes. It's like Thanksgiving is getting the short end of the stick, right? Yeah. You know, you gotta,
and it's a great holiday. Why are we shorting out Thanksgiving? I mean, you're absolutely right. There's Christmas music was already being played.
The Grinch was on last Sunday, man. That was it for me. Right. The Grinch, why is the Grinch?
As a matter of fact, we were in studio doing another sports project here for Federal News Radio, and we noticed that the Grinch was on, and then there was something else that came on right after.
The Grinch came on again.
Yeah, they played it twice on like TBS. We're like, what? No. And then I get a text from my mom saying the Grinch is on. I'm like, why are you telling me this?
We can't have that, folks. We got to take a stand.
Yeah.
Don't let them take Thanksgiving from us. Be thankful. That's right. Just like, you know, do two things. If you get anything else from this show, just take these two things. Don't sell sell your tickets to the Dallas game, be thankful.
Be thankful. Don't bypass Thanksgiving. Christmas is going to be here. Like, what's the point of waiting? We can wait till after Thanksgiving to start playing Christmas music and stuff. It's the Federal Football Report. The website is federalnewsradio.com. 1500 AM is the dial on your AM dial. And so we're talking about the Redskins. They beat the Giants 20-14 in FedEx Field. It was a home game, even though not looking like one. We do have a Giants fan in studio in honor of all the Giants fans who were at FedEx Field. Mr. Rodney Henderson with us this afternoon.
He might be like a good luck charm, right?
Maybe so. Maybe I have Giants fans right. all over the place, right?
That's right.
Redskins
five. Rodney.
I would love to.
The Redskins 5-6. Giants 5-6. The Redskins hold the tiebreaker. And so right now, number one in the NFC East. A team who many people thought would win the East going away until Romo got hurt in that second week. Kind of turned the whole division around. Mm-hmm. The whole division was up for grabs. The Dallas Cowboys come to FedEx Field for a Monday night matchup. Now, look, here's a team, again, can't stress this enough, 3-1 with their starting quarterback, 0-7 without him.
Do
we have a reason to believe that a team who could not win with Romo all year long all of a sudden is going to come to FedEx Field and win on Monday night?
Well,
against the division leading one.
Being the burgundy and gold historian that I am, I have to remind the fans of a gentleman named Clint Longley way, way back in the day, who on Thanksgiving, by the way, beat the burgundy and gold with the Hail Mary pass. We got to remember what in the championship game, what was it? Gary Hogaboom almost stole the championship, NFC championship game away. If it wasn't for a deflected pass by Dexter Manley, that would have happened. So, yeah, there's a tradition of backup quarterbacks hurting this team in this series. It depends on what Dallas decides to do. Now, this was a Dallas team that overachieved last year. And fortunately for the rest of the NFC East, they decided not to keep the team intact. They said it was a money thing. DeMarco Murray, that running game has helped with – is what opened up everything. The the maturity of Dez Bryant. Remember that shootout game that they had with Peyton Manning, with Romo and Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys were special last year. And, you know, with the injury to Romo and the attrition, the loss of DeMarco Murray, they aren't as special. So, you know, it's a matter of pride for the Cowboys. And there's one thing I'll say about Jerry Jones. He's a prideful guy. Mm-hmm. He's a prideful guy. So, they're going to have to bring the A game to beat these Cowboys.
Absolutely.
I believe.
Rodney, what do you have for the Monday night game?
You just got to watch out because, you know, they have nothing to lose. So, you know, pretty much they're done like your fried turkey was. So you never know what's going to happen. I really believe that Redskins is going to beat it, especially at home, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, so the keys for the game, I think, you know, the Redskins, again, are going to have to establish the run. You know what I mean? They're definitely going to have to get a good, healthy dosage of Alfred Morris. Again, you got to give the guy the ball 25 times. You know, he's got to touch the ball 25 times. I think you've got to go deep. We talk about it all the time here on the show. We talked about it before. Just throw the ball deep to Deshaun. You know, see what's going to happen. Just throw the ball deep to Deshaun. I think on defense, you know, the fortunate thing with having having Matt Castle at quarterback is the fact that you can stack the box. And the Cowboys' running game has kind of been dead all year. And so you don't necessarily have to stack the box to even stop the run against them. And so I think, you know, with as always, special focus on Dez Bryant. You make sure Witten doesn't get open in the middle, and you've got a recipe for what could be a game that the Redskins win, go to 6-6, and still lead the division.
Now, if we had a Cowboy fan in the vicinity, what
suppose
I would do.
Suppose we did.
If we did. Hypothetical. If we did, I would ask them, would they think that the fact that they got embarrassed in the nationally televised game against the Panthers, and they're having an opportunity to rebound with another nationally televised game, do you think there'll be an extra incentive with this team to sort of show that they aren't who they were on Thanksgiving and they have a little extra to prove on this game?
I think if there were a Cowboys fan here's how I think that person possibly would answer. Uh-huh. That yes, there would be an extra incentive, but also to show, you know, there's nothing like an athlete, like there's nothing that bruises an athlete's pride like another athlete on your team going down and everyone writing you off as if you're not good enough. You know what I mean?
Right,
can just imagine that when that happens with Romo, the guys hear that, oh, here we go again. The Cowboys aren't going to, they couldn't win without him. So these guys have got to look at themselves and say, wait a minute.
That's right.
I'm a professional athlete as well. And yeah, Romo's not here, but I'm Dez Bryant. I'm Darren McFadden. You know what I mean? That I'm a baller too. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of pride, then we can go to Washington We can play the Redskins Monday night.
In front of our home crowd.
In front of our home crowd in Washington. And get this win. I think you're absolutely right that, yeah, pride would set in, I think, for a team. And as crazy as this sounds, believe me that this is being said in Dallas, even at 3-8, if you get to 8-8,
you could win the division.
You could win. There was a year, and I'm trying to remember which year it was, where Seattle won the West at 7-9.
Yeah, 7-9.
7-9.
And then they knocked off the Saints.
They sure did. That's that game that Marshawn Lynch ran over the whole team twice.
Exactly. And so with the Redskins still having a game, two games against Dallas and one against the Eagles, that's three divisional games mm-hmm. right there. That the winner very well in this division could be 8-8 or 7-9. Mm-hmm. Like you, so unless you're mathematically out, you're not out.
That's right.
That's if a Cowboys fan was in the studio. That's what they would say. That's what they would say. They would say, of course they'd come up here and play with some heart because it's not over for them.
Yes.
With or without Romo.
They're going to say, but they probably, if it was a Cowboys fan, they're going to run the tables.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, run the table. It's not too late for Castle to turn things around. Let's not forget, he made a Pro Bowl once in his career.
It's a good thing that a Cowboy fan isn't
he
there.
He had double-digit wins.
I had to let the air out his balloon.
He had double-digit wins in New England
into the,
and in Kansas City.
They're coming into the home of the NFC East champs right now. Oh. Right now, they're the champs. We hold our destiny in our hands. That's right. You know, let me come and give the pregame speech. I'll talk to him. This is it. This is what you've been fighting for. This is what you've been sweating all summer for. This is it. The hunt. This is the hunt for Red December, okay?
Exactly. Five wins. Let's get to six.
They can do this, right? This is for nobody else. This is for us. Like with the big Russian fought Rocky, he said, I fight for me. This is it. And, you know, like I said, when I did the pregame speech, I let them know this. This is it. This is where we want to be. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Redskins improved to 5-6, 5-1 at home after a win 20-14 against the New York Giants. Number one in the division. We'll come back next week. I guess we'll be on the air Tuesday because of the Monday night game against Dallas.
Yeah.
And we'll have complete professional broadcast level analysis and in-depth look at the Washington Redskins game against the Cowboys. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.